Proverbs chapter 1. You know, it's amazing, the scripture Brother Josh read, our Lord said that when we search the scriptures, they speak of Him. You can find Christ all over the Bible, and certainly you find Christ even in the book of Proverbs. We're going to talk about wisdom. Jesus is wisdom personified. If we want wisdom, we can go to Him, amen? You don't have to go to the university. You don't have to go to Hollywood or Wall Street or all the places the world says you need to go. We can go to Jesus and find true wisdom that we need for our lives. And I thank God for that. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 20 down to verse 33. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of their of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Before we continue, we're going to continue with a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask if Brother Hanif, actually, would you stand and lead us in a prayer? And my notes are just there in the back office. I forgot to grab them off the copier. So, Brother, you pray, and I'll be right back and continue with the sermon for us this morning. Pray for us, Brother. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you bearing with me. There are some messages I might be able to preach from memory. This wouldn't be one of them. And I would hate to miss some of the stuff I studied and put together and miss a point. So thanks for bearing with me on that one. We're in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And just to kind of recap, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is the application of knowledge. So a lot of people have knowledge. We live in the information age. Google it, right? Just get on Google. You can obtain knowledge. Well, be careful about that. That's another story. But knowledge is fine. It's good to have information and knowledge, but wisdom actually takes it and applies it to your life. And that's where God wants us to be. We come to church for every week, and maybe you read your Bible during the week. I hope you do. You study, and it's good. You're gaining knowledge, but the goal is not to stop there. It's not just to puff your head up with a bunch of information. No, we're to put it to practice. Someone said what's in your head ought to trickle down eventually to your feet, to where you walk, to your daily life. And that's what the book of Proverbs deals with. And last week, we started at the foundation. The foundation of all wisdom is found in Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So if a person wants true knowledge and wisdom, it begins, the starting point, you're not even at the starting line until you fear God. We talked about what that meant last week. Some of that certainly is a healthy fear of what God is capable of. And even in our text, there's the judgment of God that's very real. But the fear of God is not just a cowering fear that he could strike me down at any moment. He can. The fear of God is a reverential awe and just glory of who God is. That he's the creator of our world. He's our redeemer. He loves us. All that he's planned and prepared for us. That's fearing God. It's a reverence for God. It's an honoring for God that he has a place that no one else can ever have in our lives. That's fearing God. And if you don't have that, you can't even start to gain wisdom. A person can't get into the house of wisdom until they enter the door of the fear of God. Those who refuse to go to the house of wisdom and gain the fear of God, they have no use for the Bible. They have no use for the book of Proverbs. But for us who genuinely want to seek God, fear him, and honor him, the book of Proverbs is so meaningful and helpful to us. Someone said, to know wisdom, one must know the God of all wisdom. Because truly, wisdom all comes from God. That's the source of all wisdom, is God himself. And we look in our text here in Proverbs 1, verse 20, it says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets." Now, it's interesting because here we see wisdom personified. And a little bit of the background. When we're in the book of Proverbs, just like when we're in the book of Psalms, we're now in the Hebrew poetry. So a lot of imagery and a lot of personification being used. In other words, taking something that's an idea but giving it personhood. And here, wisdom is being personified, and it's a lady in the streets that's uttering her voice, crying out. Very interesting. Wisdom is crying out. That means wisdom is trying to be heard, and some people just don't want to hear. That's part of what this is about, wisdom crying out, but people aren't listening. And then notice she uttereth her voice in the Sunday school class, in the church service. No, it says in the streets. The idea is that God is all around us trying to speak to us. He's trying to get our attention. Hey, this message, God wants to get your attention. Hope you're awake and ready to hear what God has for you. Amen. But just because you leave here at 12 o'clock, 12:30, whatever time it is, doesn't mean I'm not going to hear from God anymore the rest of this week. It's not the way it works. No, God wants to speak to us. And the idea of in the streets is wherever we are, where we shop, where we go to school, where we go to work, in our community, in our neighborhood, at home, wherever we are, there's an opportunity to glean wisdom from God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God doesn't just confine himself to 1 hour a week in a church building, but God everywhere is trying to speak to me, minister to me, lead me, and teach me if I'm willing to hear his voice. That's the key. So God is crying out. God wants to hear us everywhere, not just in church. Church is a great place to hear the voice of God. But there are many places God wants to speak to us. But sadly, many refuse to hear God's voice. Look at verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You know, maybe you have a friend or someone that, man, they're just so hard to get a hold of. You try to call them on the phone, they don't answer. You send them a text message, man, they just never text back. You send them an email or Facebook or whatever social media, and it's just frustrating sometimes. Man, I can't get a hold of that person. And now the idea is God is trying to get a hold of you and me. And we're giving God the cold shoulder. God's using preaching. God uses parents. God uses other godly people in our lives. Maybe even circumstances that change in our lives. And that's God speaking to you. He's trying to warn you or wake you up. Hello, get the message. And it says, but ye refused. That's very sad. Sadly, many people are refusing the voice of God. In verse 29, Proverbs 1:29, says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Notice it's a choice. And many do not choose to fear the Lord and hear God's voice and glean wisdom. And the Bible here gives us some warnings. You can choose to do that, but there's some consequences to doing that. There's some consequences to not following God's voice, to refusing His wisdom. And He lays it all out for us in this passage. And we're going to look at it, verse 26 to the end of the chapter. There's some serious consequences. But it starts with the idea that God is trying to speak out, cry out to us, that we would hear His voice. And the idea is, if He's crying out, are we listening? Do we have our ears open, spiritually speaking, to not just hear what He says, but do what He says, to do His will, to keep His commandments, to keep His instructions? You know, it's not just God crying out. There are other people that cry out, that try to get our attention too. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 10. Proverbs 1, verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. So there's other voices that want to get your heart, that want to get your thought process, your way of living, that's trying to capture your attention. But we have to find a way to cut through all of that noise and listen to the voice of God, wisdom that's crying out in the streets. What I want to do this morning is kind of preach this message almost in reverse order of how I would normally preach it. I want to start with the end of this passage and deal with that first, the consequences of wisdom rejected. The consequences of wisdom rejected. And when you look at Proverbs 1, really from verse 26 to the end of the chapter, to me, it's one of the saddest passages in all of the Bible. One of the saddest passages in all of the Bible. Let's look again. Proverbs 1. Let's start back in verse 24. He says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The Bible is giving us the clear picture here, that when sinners continue in their sin, continue persisting, and God's crying out, speaking to them, God puts a wall and they just are determined to just keep plowing through in their sin, there comes a point with God where He says enough is enough, and people are so headstrong, so stubborn, so steadfast in their sin and their rebellion against God's will, and now they're going to be confirmed in their path, in their choice. that now they're going to be in a place that when they think, okay, now I need God, God says it's too late. Now I want you to come and deliver me. Now I need your help, your wisdom, your guidance. God says it's too late for all of that. I always say this, I believe this with all my heart. With God, there's a line in the sand. We don't know where it is. I don't know, you don't know, but there is a line. His patience, His mercy, His long-suffering runs out. We're preaching through the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights, and we looked at Genesis 6 right before the flood. And our Lord warned and said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you of something, that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. The dangerous place to be is when He stops convicting you. When you say, you know what, it doesn't even bother me anymore to sin, to stay in rebellion. It doesn't even bother me. It doesn't even cross my mind anymore. Well, buddy, that's a scary place to be. Because here God's word warns that when you do start to turn to God, He's going to laugh. He's going to mock. You're going to seek for Him and you will not find Him. The exact opposite of what He normally does when people humble themselves and want to follow Him. But someone says, is this all God's fault? Why would God do this? Well, the key is in verse 31. It says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. It's not God's fault. It's their fault. They chose this path, and God says, well, here you go. This is what you'll have. If you don't want me, you won't have me. And God here warns about what happens when wisdom is rejected, that there's no alternative plan. And it lets us know you can't play games with God. Some people think they can play games with God. That, hey, I'm just going to sow my wild oats now, and later on I'll get right with God. Or maybe on my deathbed, or when I'm an older person in life, that's when I'll get more serious for God. It's funny, it's always next time, in the future, so at some point I'll make it right. But brother, that's not guaranteed. Listen to what the Bible warns in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen, you sow seed in the ground, you sow apple seeds or whatever the case is, you're going to get an apple tree. You're going to get the fruit that you have sown. And if you sow rebelliousness and carnality and refusing to follow God, well, all you can expect is to reap the fruit of that. By the way, that's why the book of Proverbs is an excellent book for young people to read and study and apply, because at the stage of your life, you're in the sowing stage of your life. Some of you young people, maybe you don't see that, but the decisions you make today, I'm going to scare some of you maybe, they will impact your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, and maybe even further down the line than that. Some of the key decisions that you're going to make in the next few years perhaps, career, education, where you're going to live, your marriage, and how you're going to live your life, how you're going to order your family. These decisions hold a lot of weight. And at the early stage of your life, you're in the sowing stage. And if you sow to the flesh, you sow rebelliousness and carnality and refusing to follow God, well, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what's going to be the fruit of that? So it's a warning, especially for young people, for all people, but especially for young people this morning, that when wisdom is rejected, there's no alternative plan. One Bible teacher put it this way, eat as they baked, drink as they brewed. They that sow the wind of iniquity shall reap the whirlwind of misery. They that sow the wind of iniquity shall reap the whirlwind of misery. So wisdom's warnings also becomes wisdom's laugh. It's interesting, God will have the last laugh. People think they can play around with sin, they can play around with God, that they can get one over on God, and this passage shows God's going to be the one that has the last laugh. And these verses are sad because it shows people that are confirmed in their condemnation, their judgment from God. And there's many scriptures that teach this. For example, go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Many of the prophets gave similar messages. Isaiah chapter 1. And these are people that are concerned with only religious externalism, when in their hearts they're not really following God. They're hypocrites. All they want to do is the outward ritual and then go on living a sinful life. And in verse 15, God says, "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." You say, doesn't God want us to pray? Doesn't God want us to seek Him and follow after Him? Yeah, but when you reject Him constantly and constantly and constantly and continue being stubborn in your sin, part of God's judgment is to now not answer your prayers, not to hear your cries, and to leave you on the path that you're on. That's the judgment of God, to leave us and depart from us. It's a sad place for someone to be. So there's many scriptures that teach God's departing presence and wisdom and guidance is part of His judgment. That's the consequences of wisdom rejected. But then, number two, the enticement of sinners. What causes people to want to reject God, to want to reject God's wisdom? Well, our text gives us a little bit of some clues here. Go back to Proverbs 1, and let's go back to verse number 10. He says in Proverbs 1:10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Notice one of the first warnings in the book of Proverbs is the danger of keeping bad company, the danger of bad friends, and the danger of choosing the wrong crowd to be with, to be associated with. It's very important, it's a very big deal in the book of Proverbs. Now, you could say in a general sense, hey, we're all sinners. So what is this verse really teaching? Well, it's talking about those that it's very emphasized their sinful behavior. Everyone knows about it. Listen, when you're in school, you kind of know, well, you know who the bad kids are. You just do, right? Maybe even at work, you know, these are the ones that it's very obvious, man, they're not doing right at all. Even in our neighborhood here, you see people sometimes, you can just tell, man, they're up to no good right now. What's going on with some of these young people? They're roaming around on their ATVs, driving all over the streets, just roaming around with no direction. You wonder where the parents are. Cops won't do anything about it. They can't, I guess. And you know they're up to no good. And the Bible warns someone that wants to follow God, that wants to follow wisdom, are you going to associate yourself with a crowd that wants to do the opposite? Yes, birds of a feather flock together. That's why a lot of parents, they're always concerned, hey, Johnny, who are you hanging out with? Susie, who are you hanging out with, right? Because you know the wisdom of God that teaches, listen, evil communications corrupt good manners. That you have a good heart following the Lord, but who you surround yourself with can impact that, can change that. And there's a warning, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I remember memorizing this verse. It helped me as a young person. Because it will let me know that they're going to come and entice you. And notice part of this enticement. I want you to see the big part of it. In verse 11, if they say, come with us. Come with us. This enticement is not just an enticement to do wrong. That's part of it. It's an enticement to belong. Come belong to something with us. Come be a part of us. Be associated with us. And this sense of belonging is really the temptation. Belong to our group, not the group that you're in. Man, what a temptation that many Christian young people face, that to be associated with a Christian group, man, you're just so strict. Your life's going to be so boring. You're never going to have any fun. You're going to miss out on so many life experiences if you follow the Bible, if you follow the Christian way of living. So come with us. Don't belong to that group. They're backward. They're old-fashioned. Come be a part of our group. And you know, that's in the heart of all of us. We want to belong to something. We want to belong to something bigger than ourselves. All of us have that desire in us. But we've got to fulfill that desire in Christ. Amen? We belong to Christ, and He belongs to us. But many people are enticed by sinners to belong to groups that want to rebel against God, want to do drugs, alcohol, want to rob or steal or just live as rebels, careless, live a violent lifestyle. Look at what the verse says, Proverbs 1, verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. They're up to no good. Let's keep reading verse number 12. Let us swallow them up alive as to the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Hey, this is the way to live. Look how much you'll have. And we can just focus on the money. Hey, you'll make a lot of money doing this. You'll live a flashy life. You know, a few weeks ago, my sister was visiting. We went to Orchard Beach up in the Bronx. I'd never been there. And a little oasis in that part of the city. It was a really, really pretty area. Anyway, we show up on the beach there, and sitting right there is an Italian man with a big old Bible, just sitting there reading his Bible right in front of the waves. It was really an interesting sight. So naturally, we were kind of drawn to him. I went to talk to him. His name was Pascal. Very, very friendly man, very interesting man. I would say he lived more life than many of us in this room. He's in his 60s or maybe 70s, has 12 kids, served in the military. But he was telling me when he came over here from Italy, he said, we came over here and don't speak much English. And living in Queens, and so you want to make some money, and there's an easy path to get money in those days, especially if you're Italian and you have a couple of connections. And he named all the names of the mobsters that we all hear about that he grew up with. So yeah, I grew up with all of them. I went to grade school with this one. I know he went and he owns this area over here, and he knew all of them. And he said, when I was 16 years old, I'm an immigrant, I have no money, and this was the path. I thought it was the only path I had. And he talked about how there was a fork in the road that he almost went into that lifestyle because of the easy, fast money. And he told me all his friends, I mean, they just had everything, cars, money, girls, everything was open to them. But he also understood that there's an end to that lifestyle too, that the money stops coming. Eventually, the chickens come home to roost, as they say. That lifestyle only leads to jail or even death. That's really the only two options when you live a life like that. And so instead, he joined the army. And thank God he did that. He joined the army, got married, had 12 kids. He talked about how he was a Roman Catholic and got saved after all the priest scandal. He was fed up with the Roman Catholic Church. I said, amen, brother. And we had a great fellowship there talking. But I remember he wanted to really warn me because he saw my kids. He wanted to warn me, you know, you got to really be careful for your kids. This next generation, the devil wants to gobble them up. And he was so true. And he knew what he was talking about. He knew what he avoided, or maybe even some of the things he endured in his childhood. And he warned me as a dad. He said, you better really be vigilant for your children. Because there's a world out there that wants to just devour them up. Sinners that want to come entice them. Come with us. Come belong to us. And parents have to be vigilant. How can we be vigilant? He says here, very simply, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That means choose, decide. And you don't wait till the temptation comes. You decide, I'm not for sale. I know who I am in Christ, and no one's going to move me or shake me from my convictions. And you better start as a young person deciding, I'm not going to follow certain people. I'm not going to associate with a certain crowd or culture. I don't care what they do. You know, I grew up a young black kid here in Elmont. Hey, you got to listen to rap music, try to follow the hip-hop gang lifestyle. You got to decide, that's not me. I'm not a violent gangbanger. I'm not some womanizer. That's not who God made me to be, so I'm going to reject that. Hey, I grew up with a lot of kids. Today, they're drunkards and marijuana abusers, potheads. Listen, all that lifestyle is pushed. That's the way to live. That's what's popular. But you got to decide, who am I in Christ? Who did God create me to be? And choose, I'm not for sale. I don't give my consent to any of that. I'm going to choose to follow Christ. And young people got to decide that. Their parents have to decide that. Adults, godly adults around them, you got to be vigilant. And see, hey, listen, who's the crowd around here? What's the association here? And let's make sure we're doing what's right. So sinners will come to entice us. Notice they have devices and plots to do evil. They have all types of strategies for evil. But the big hook is come belong to our group. Be a part of our group. Be just like us. But we have to decide that it's a trap. Don't be so easily fooled by Satan's traps. Eventually, we see in verse number 15, says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Listen, to follow a life of carnality and chasing after money or the next big thrill, forsaking God, it never pays off. And the idea here is it's a trap. It's almost like a bird who sees food, but that food is on a net that's going to trap that bird, but the bird is only concerned about that instant gratification. So he goes right for the food, and sure enough, the net captures it. And the Bible says the wise man's going to see the trap ahead of time and realize, you know what, I'm not even going to go down that road. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And then thirdly, let's look at wisdom's warnings. Again, verse 20 is so fascinating because wisdom is presented as a person who's offering guidance and instruction. She's crying out aloud, trying to get attention because she's being ignored. Isn't that sad? People have the answer right before them, but they often ignore it. I often wonder how many people come to church, a church like ours that hears the gospel week after week. They hear the truth Sunday after Sunday, but they never decide for themselves to be saved. I often wonder, what's it going to take? I wonder how many people come to church like ours, maybe even here this morning, that are like that, that you've never taken that step to truly humble yourself, to repent and be saved. Don't keep resisting and refusing God. Don't do that. Wisdom is crying out. Warren Wiersbe said, "The greatest tragedy is that there's so much noise that people can't hear the things that they really need to hear. God is trying to get through to them with the voice of wisdom, but all they hear are the confused communications, clutter, and foolish voices that lead them farther away from the truth." Oh, that's so true. So many people, what voices they listen to are just the latest pop culture icons on the internet and Hollywood TV. That's who they listen to and follow. And it's a shame because they're being led further away from the truth. Well, in this warning, in Proverbs 1, there's several different groups that are addressed here. If you look at Proverbs 1, verse 20, wisdom's crying out. She uttered her voice in the streets. But look at verse 22. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." You know, the fool is a major theme in the book of Proverbs. And you might know that in the Old Testament, there's five different Hebrew words that are used for the word fool. And each word, there's a lot of overlap, but they have a different flavor or emphasis of what kind of fool or foolish behavior that person does. There's the simple fool, the stubborn, the sensual, the scorner, and the steadfast fool. Now, I want to be honest with you. Every single one of us can exhibit that type of foolishness in our own lives. But the great answer, the great blessing is God gives a solution to that. Because in Proverbs 1 and verse 23, he says, "Turn you at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." So there's an answer for anyone that's going down the road of a fool. God wants to give grace if you just turn. He'll give grace and he'll restore you. He gives counsel to every type of fool. But I want to just take a few moments to address these different fools that are found in the Bible. The simple fool. He says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" in verse 22. The Hebrew word translated fool there, or simple one, is the idea of an open door. It's the idea of an open door. And a simple person isn't necessarily a stupid person. It's not someone who doesn't know anything. It's someone who knows everything and believes everything. The idea of someone who's gullible, who's easily taken in because they don't have any discernment, any sense of right and wrong. That's the simple fool. And if I'm being honest with you, that's really, I think, where American culture is today. we're called to be the highest virtue that you can have in American culture is to be open-minded. And I've noticed, too, in a lot of Christian circles, we've kind of embraced that. That the greatest virtue is not to have the truth, but to be tolerant, to be open-minded and accepting and inclusive. That's the greatest good, even greater than truth. And simply put, that is just foolishness. That's what the Bible calls it. It's foolishness. We should not be tolerant of evil, of sin, of wickedness, of rebelliousness. But a simple person is someone that's left the door to their heart and mind open for the wiles of the devil to come in. All types of wicked ideas about God, the world, and themselves can just walk right in, and they have no discernment. They can't decide between right and wrong, discern between good and bad. They keep their options open. They never really commit to anything, and they can't stick with anything. So these types of people, they float around church to church, church hoppers, because, hey, pick up this, pick up that. You know, I've talked to some people, hey, I go to the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, I go to Seventh-day Adventist, I go to the Baptist Church, so I go everywhere, and almost kind of bragging about it. And I just scratched my head, I said, you know, you have to come to the place one day you realize that not everyone can be right, and some people are wrong. There is right, and there's wrong. And the greatest good is not being inclusive, it's being on the side of what's right and what's true. And from the scriptures, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's this truth that we have to stick to, but the simple one says, no, I'm open to everything. Go with me to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And verse 3, we'll see the simple fool in action. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. They can't look ahead and discern what's right and what's wrong. That's the simple fool. But then there's the stubborn fool. The stubborn fool is the one that says there is no God. The Bible says, a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The stubborn fool despises instruction. In Proverbs 15 and verse 5, I'll read it to you. Proverbs 15, 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That's a stubborn fool. They don't like suggestions or constructive criticism. It's their way or the highway. You can't tell them anything because they already know everything already. That's the stubborn fool. That's the person that they never take the time to get godly counsel. They never take the time to ask someone, what are your thoughts about this? A simple question, but it shows a lot of wisdom. So a stubborn fool is one that's just, they know it all. They're determined, they're thick-headed, and they don't want to receive instruction very easily. If you go to Proverbs 26, Proverbs 26 and verse 11, it says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's the stubborn fool. And as grotesque as that imagery might be, that's the way God sees the stubborn fool that continues over and over and over again, going back to his sin. He's stubborn, but he can't see that his folly is destroying him. Then there's the scorner. The scorner. We see a little bit of that mentioned here in our text in Proverbs 1. The scorner, this is the kind of fool that he doesn't just want to do what's wrong. He also wants to stir up trouble for other people to lead them to do what's wrong too. You know the saying, misery loves company? And so the scorner is the one that's all upset, rebelling against things of God, but they want to get a crowd to resist and rebel with them. That's the scorner. And you got to watch out for scorners in groups, in a family, in a church. We got to watch out for scorners that have that spirit of just scorning, rebelling against God's word. The scorner is the one that wants to stir up trouble for other people who are trying to do the right thing. They have a contempt in their heart for the things of God. They have a contempt for authority, including parents, civil authorities, and of course, certainly the men of God and God himself. That's the scorner. You know, I've met quite a few scorners over my lifetime, even just my some of my peers even. A lot of people that get to the older stage of life and they almost brag, yeah, you know, my parents taught me not to listen to this style of music, but now I do, and they're scorning about it. Or my parents taught me not to associate with a certain crowd of people, but now I'm going to do it, I'm going to flaunt it, I'm going to live just like the world and kind of flaunt it out and draw other people to live like that too. They have a scorner type attitude. Oh, that pastor used to preach against sin, but now I'm just going to live in it and enjoy it and flaunt it, promote it. They're scorners. And all of them are out there. It's amazing how much bitterness many of them have, and they want to bring other people to become scorners just like them. The scorner has a contempt for authority, has rejected truth, and embraced that which is abominable to God. The scorner hates being corrected and boasts in their rebellion and sin. The other type of fool in the book of Proverbs is the sensual fool. And we'll spend some time in a few weeks talking about that, but that's the fool that makes immoral choices. They have a sense of instant gratification. They want it right away, and they can't wait. And that kind of a person will get themselves in a lot of big trouble, especially in the moral arena. But we'll save that for our a later message. The steadfast fool is the most dangerous type of fool there is. The steadfast fool is a committed fool. He's committed. The Hebrew word is Nabal, which means literally stupid, wicked. It's the idea of someone that, again, they have no desire to repent, no desire to get right with God. They know the truth. They've heard the truth. But they're just committed to continuing in their foolish behavior. Well, these fools try to tempt those of us that want to follow the Lord. Again, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We have to decide we're not going to go down the road of a fool. But perhaps it's not just the external temptation. Maybe in your own life this morning you realize, man, I played the part of a fool. There's foolish tendencies in my life. There's foolish sins that I've embraced or attitudes I've embraced. As I mentioned earlier, there's a great blessing in this passage because God gives an answer, a solution. In Proverbs 1:23, he says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Turn. To turn means you're going in one direction, you realize it's the wrong direction, and you turn to God and you repent. That's the idea. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. You change your mind about your sin. You realize, this isn't good for me. It's evil. It's vile. It's wicked. You change your mind about God. God's not out to get me. God wants to bless me. Let me follow His will, His way for my life. And you repent and you turn. He says, "Turn you at my reproof." That's His instruction that wants to correct us. We could say that's the Bible. Start living by the Bible. Start applying the Bible to your life. That's turning at God's reproof. So there's a solution. There's good news for the fool. God offers repentance and forgiveness, and He'll pour out His Spirit and make known His words unto us. Well, wisdom is calling out, but there's a lot of other voices that drown out the noise, and we have to decide. Our passage tells us in verse 29, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." You can choose, and you must choose, to fear God and to follow His way of wisdom. Or you can refuse it. And the warnings are here. You disregard God's word, God's will, God's way, the messengers God has sent your way. All you can expect is God's judgment and God forsaking you. That's what Proverbs 1 really lays out. When fear comes, desolation comes, destruction comes, anguish comes, God won't be there anymore to help you. God's going to withdraw Himself as a form of judgment. So, we have these voices calling out, but which voice will we listen to is the question. Will we choose wisdom? In the New Testament, the word disciple is literally the word learner. And as disciples of Christ, we must choose to follow Christ, to learn of Him, and to follow Him. So careful study of the Bible is necessary for true discipleship. And the blessing for those that do that, in verse 33, says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." There's a special blessing when you do things God's way. Now, I don't want us to take this verse and run with it. It means you'll never have any problems in your life. No, problems will come, but you have a place of safety in the midst of those problems. You have a source of hope, of endurance, because you're following God. If God be for us, who can be against us, the Bible says. And so this morning, what will be your choice? Wisdom's crying out. Wisdom's warning. Sinners are enticing. But which will be our choice? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word and the warnings it gives to us. Help us to take them to heart and apply them. Help us to be clear-eyed when it comes to the matter of living in sin, harboring sin. Help us to be clear-eyed on playing the part of a fool. And may we not be deceived. May we not be stubborn-minded and steadfast. May we humble ourselves and turn at your reproof, make things right, and find the safety and victory that you want to provide for us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, that's never been saved, I pray they would stop resisting and they would just humble themselves once and for all and get right and put their faith in you and become saved. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that's available, but may we realize that your patience eventually does wear thin. Lord, may we take these warnings to heart. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe this morning you're here and you realize that you need to get saved. It's time once and for all to not put it off or delay, understanding that there comes a point with God where he says enough is enough. Oh, if you're here, will you humble yourself and say, "Yes, it's me. I need to be saved. God's spoken to me. I want to get that settled this morning." If that's your need, you want to be saved, God's convicted you of that, could you slip your hand up now? We'd love to pray for you. Yes, I need to humble myself. It's time I get saved. For us as Christians this morning, I hope you're choosing to follow the voice of wisdom. Wisdom's crying out. Are we listening is the question. Why don't we all stand together? Let's all stand. Lord, we just thank you again for your word. Would you continue to help us to apply